Good morning. Welcome to After Deadline. I'm Kathleen Strecker. I'm the editor of Coast Weekend at the Daily Astorian. And I am talking today with Debbie Vail, who is one of the movers and shakers associated with Camp Kawanalong, whom I'm sure everyone around here has heard of or been to at one time or another. So thank you very much for coming today, Debbie, and talking about camp. And I want to start off with maybe getting a little bit about you and your background and how you got involved with such a special place.
Well, I moved here from Ohio. I believe it's about 33 years ago. And in Ohio, I was a single mother with three small children. I was a youth worker at Methodist Church, involved with young people. But before that, I was actually a concert singer. I sang with the Cleveland Symphony and the Columbus Symphony, and I think all those years of voice training had a lot to do with giving me success and volume as a camp director out at Camp Kawanalong.
That would go hand in hand, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Excellent. I bet you're great around a campfire.
I am, and I can make my voice boom through the entire forest.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you came out here, how did you get involved with Kawanalong?
When I arrived here, I got a job in the Seaside School System, and I worked here for a year and really became aware of the need of these young children, and having three small children of my own while they were in second and fourth grade. I have a set of twins in second grade at the time. I realized that something for children to do in the summer at that time was lacking, and that was about, as I said, 33 years ago. So a friend of mine became a friend of mine. I was at my daughter's Girl Scout ceremony out at Colibri Lake, and she came up to me. And we started talking because I had been a scout for years when I was younger. And she mentioned this camp out in Warrenton named Camp Kawanalong that had been vacant for a few years after the Girl Scouts left. Uh-huh. And so as I was excited talking about Girl Scout memories, she said, well, would you think you would consider running a camp, you know, just for a couple of weeks? It's just terrible that it's not available to our youth. So for some reason, I said yes, and I had no idea of what I was getting into or how to do it. But I had a lot of teachers that volunteered help, and we did it for 2 weeks the first summer. I fell in love with it, and now it went to 4 weeks and then to 6 weeks, and I did it for 30 years until I retired.
Excellent. So. Wow. So the camp had been there in existence, but then wasn't being used?
Correct. It was formed in 1936. I guess the people that owned the property were way back on their taxes.
Uh-huh.
So Judge Boynton took the land and dedicated it to a youth camp.
Okay.
And the Astoria Kiwanis were the ones that helped in building the lodge and all of the cabins. And so consequently, we got our name Kawanalong for the Kiwanis and Long Lake.
Okay.
Which has a lot of fish in it.
Oh, cool. So. And I noticed on one of the pictures on the website that there is a building in the facilities with the name Boynton on it.
Correct. Yeah? That was built in his honor and his thanks, and also because of his wife, who was from Louisiana. She had Louisiana bullfrogs flown in, and so Long Lake has, I cannot tell you how many, very loud at night bullfrogs.
Oh, well, what would camp be without the bullfrogs?
That's right.
Awesome. Well, that's cool. Now, is it mainly kids from the North Coast that go there, or how far away do kids come in to attend the summer camps?
For the particular, the summer youth program, the majority of the campers, and we put anywhere between 450 to 550 campers, the majority are from the county.
Mm-hmm.
But by word of mouth, we have not only had campers come from all over the United States, the East Coast, Nebraska, the Midwest, as I said, Alaska. Also, we've gotten them from New Zealand,
really?
Australia, Japan, France, and it's just word of mouth. So the best thing about it is that it has expanded actual knowledge of the world in different cultures presented to our young people because they live in cabins with them. So it's been just an invaluable experience for our county youth.
I guess. Well, fantastic. So what sort of programs during the summer sessions, what kind of programs can kids take advantage of?
Well, the six-week summer youth program is a resident overnight camp. And we have one specific program for our counselor and training program. Mm-hmm. We have, it's a two-year or a two-summer training session. And usually all of those that participate in that program have grown up as campers and can't wait to be staff. Mm-hmm. We have a teen week, junior high week, which is a week just total with junior high or teen activities. And that's the only time we allow electronics in the camp. But we have open mics and karaoke. We have a twinkle light forest frolic, which is a dance. They decorate and put on a luau. By Wednesday, when I've gained their trust, 110 teenagers are set loose for night games. And that is the ultimate. They love running around in the dark. And the children are, these young people are just wonderful out there. Then we have another program, which is just particularly geared to, it's a shorter session, it's only 4 days, for first-time campers. Mm-hmm. So that they can become acclimated and the parents aren't having such a hard time letting them go. But it's just a camp right out of the 50s, good old-fashioned fun.
Like if you went and rented Meatballs, right, the movie? Bill Murray?
Pretty.
with a little
more structure.
Bawdiness, yeah.
yes.
I rented that. Well, actually, I bought it a couple weeks ago and made my kids watch it. Because, it's one of those movies you just have to have.
Right.
Well, cool. So what kind of experiences do they get at Kiwanalong that they maybe wouldn't get somewhere else?
Well, you told me about that question ahead of time, and I thought about it, and I thought, there's canoeing and archery and swimming and a lot of camps and good food and campfires. But I guess the experience they have is living and being influenced by the staff. They are such beautiful young people, and they go on to college and still come back. It's only when they get married and have a family and get big people jobs that we lose them. But I think experiencing the program under the influence of the staff, I don't think they would get that anywhere else.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, the one time that I've been to camp there as a young person, I remembered the slugs.
Yes.
I think they get more slugs there than at any other camp.
Yes, we do. And we tell them that we freeze them for Friday night dinner and dip them in chocolate.
Nice.
And first-time campers, actually, we have to tell them it really, well, I'm not going to say it on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
It's a frozen slug with chocolate.
Awesome. Great. Well, you mentioned you've got the first-time campers session. And
correct.
You've got the teen session. Any other specialty weeks or anything like that?
Well, every week has a theme.
Oh, okay.
So our first session is Harry Potter.
Oh, wow.
And then I think that, well, I had to bring it. It changes each year. The second session is superhero, aliens, and then superhero week, Wild West week, junior high week, and the last week, the all-time favorite, is Pirates Week.
Pirates will never go out of popularity.
No, they keep invading us every sixth week, and we chase them away, but they come back every summer to see us.
Awesome. That sounds like so much fun. Now I want to go to camp.
Good.
So you said that a lot of the counselors in training have come up through camps as youth. So what are the requirements for becoming a counselor or counselor in training?
Well, to begin with, I hired counselors at college universities. I went to their big camp recruitment day and got a few surprises. So then all of a sudden I thought, I better start growing my own.
Oh, okay.
And so what we do when a child, a young person is going into the ninth grade, they fill out an application and they have to get references so we can check what we know of them as campers, because all of them that come into the junior CIT program are former campers. And it sort of substantiates how we think that they are. So they have their first year of training. And the second year is when we decide if they're mature enough and really ready. Because that's a big job 24/7 being a counselor. And some are just not quite ready yet. Mm-hmm. So when you're invited back to your second year of training, that means the potential is there for staff and we need new staff all the time. So
yeah, I imagine so.
And then they're hired as junior counselors. And then after that, I don't like to give them up.
Yeah, yeah. Do you mind if I ask, what does a counselor get paid?
For our junior counselors, see if I can remember. I haven't been there for 2 years now. It's $700 for the summer.
Okay.
Senior counselor is $900. If they get their life saving, even if a junior counselor, we want as many on staff as possible with their life saving. And so that's an additional $200.
Okay.
So in our special activities, directors are paid more, but they can earn up to maybe $1,700 for 6 weeks.
That's a pretty decent summer job.
The money, we have a very low tuition, and it goes for food and for jobs, mm-hmm. for salaries. And the rest is all creativity and mm-hmm. magic that is just created by them.
Right. Oh, cool. So now when you go to a summer camp, all the counselors have kooky names.
Correct.
How do you come up with your counselor name?
Well, it's a very special process, and it means it's a significant thing for each person.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Scouts and I could not come up with a name, all the rest of my class had names, and mm-hmm. I just couldn't. So we slept around a campfire one night, and all these sparks flew off. And in the morning when I woke up, I had like little buckshot holes, but they were little burn marks all over my sleeping bag, and they mm-hmm. said, "Ah, that's your name, Sparky."
Great.
And they gave me a last name of Embers. So I have a first and last name. But every one of, and that's one of the neat things that a counselor can explain to a child why they chose their name.
So kind of a bonding thing.
That's correct.
Well, excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. So how many paid staff do you have per session?
All right. When I was last there, which was, I said, 2 years ago, and I don't mm-hmm. think it's changed, they have 41.
Wow.
So it's not it's very, very good for our community economic-wise. Mm-hmm. But we have cooks and cabin counselors and special activity directors and CIT directors and unit directors and assistant director, infirmary person, first mm-hmm. aid nurse, waterfront director. So, but it comes up. And we have a ratio with even throwing the kitchen staff in, and they are wonderful, of about three campers to one adult.
Really?
And that's why the program is so successful.
No kidding. Well, so. Good for you. That's mm-hmm. great. How about any big projects that are going on out there, construction or improvement or anything?
Yes. We are working on, we have the plans, and we are going to construct a storage building.
Hmm.
Part of it is going to be for the caretaker for tractors mm-hmm. and stuff. And the other part is the summer youth program, all of their supplies and equipment, and it's all stored at my house now. And I fortunately have this big back room, but it needs to be on campus. So we, thanks to United Way, we are getting the funding, and we will be in the process of constructing that this fall.
Great. Okay. So that was one of my other questions. Where does the funding come from other than just the campers' fees? You got United Way?
United Way helps with the general camp, mm-hmm. with the general operation. We get a lot of donations for financial assistance to help. Mm-hmm. If a child wants to come to camp, we can find the money to send them. So.
Good.
In regards to projects, a lot has been donated. A lot of our service organizations, Astoria, Rotary and Kiwanis and the mm-hmm. Seaside Kiwanis. People have left money
mm-hmm.
to us, usually when the need arises.
Mm-hmm.
Private individuals and organizations come through. It's just a wonderful thing. We're part of a chamber of the heart of this county,
mm-hmm.
and it pumps life and spirit and everything into our young people. And so many outside of camp are becoming more and more aware of it and give up their time and money. We have now 11 on our nonprofit board. So volunteers that come and give a lot of time and effort and creative ideas to keep the facilities in this place going for our summer youth program in OMSI and all these others.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Okay.
Good. Well, if you are just tuning in, this is After Deadline, and I'm Kathleen Strecker of the Daily Astorian talking with Debbie Vail, representing Camp Kiwanalong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, along the same line with the funding, does the Kiwanis Club still have any current ties to the camp, or do they just contribute whenever they can?
No, there are no current ties now, except that whenever we need help of any kind, they rally and come through. And the same with the Rotary. We have the most beautiful suspension bridge that goes over our wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
And it just warms your heart to see how this community works together.
That's so very inspirational. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, tell us what a typical camp day would be like. Oh, she's got a whole sheet.
I brought my
full
schedule. There's no way I can remember this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we turn our clocks back, first of all, to make the world magical. We are in our own time zone out there. And plus, I get them to bed when it's dark instead of daylight. Psychologically, it has an impact on me. So according to Camp Quanlong time, they get up at 7 and they're awakened by a trumpet.
Right.
And at 7:30, the group that's assigned to set the tables and clean up afterwards are up there at the lodge. 7:50, we raise our flag every morning. 8 o'clock breakfast, and then we go off and do our chores for clean cabin and the castle, which is the bathroom, has to be cleaned.
Okay.
And so classes start at 9:15, and they're 45-minute classes or a little less, but they go typical day for, this would be the third graders, because we schedule them in boating first because it gets windy on the lake in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
They're not strong enough to handle it. So they go in for their first class is boating, then swimming. Then they go to scrub-a-dub. Everybody goes through the shower after swimming.
Okay.
And then they have a create some fun time, which is a special time just with their counselor where they do special things. Then at 12:15, they come up to set the table. Lunch is at 12:30. Afterwards is rest period, and they get to go to the candy store. Mm-hmm. We have the best candy store with the best bargains anywhere in the state of Oregon, guaranteed. Yeah. So after their rest period, they go on to archery. Then another create some fun time, and we have a create some fun engineer at that time that kind of helps the tired counselor by that time to sort of generate some fun. Then we have a special activities class, and that's normally centered around what the theme of the week is.
Okay.
And then an arts and crafts class. Then after that, free time in the field where everybody plays together, and we have dinner about 5:45, and then we lower our flag every night. Have a campfire, sing taps, get those little guys to bed, and then every counselor reads them a story until they fall asleep every night.
That's awesome.
So that's the day.
Very cool. Okay. Let's see. All right. Tell me, there's got to be a million great stories of things that have happened at camp over the years. Have there ever been any, like, wild animal intrusions?
Yes, we had a skunk that had his head stuck in a yogurt cup.
All right.
And he was discovered after everyone went to bed. And it was a girl staff that saw it and unfortunately let out a little squeal. But our little male counselors that sometimes think they're, macho.
Okay.
They were going to save the skunk and take the yogurt cup off of his head because it wasn't coming off. Well, I wish you could have been a witness to see these supposed brave young men trying to capture the skunk without being sprayed to get the yogurt cup off. That was one that involved a wild animal. But we have raccoons that if we had the license, we probably could get saddles for them and have a riding class.
Really? That big?
Huh? Yes, and we have deer and rabbits. Because there's so much building going around the camp, and they're kind of being encroached, so we get a lot of wildlife in the camp.
And by that you mean like the subdivisions out
That's
there
correct.
In Hammond?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
All right, but no dangerous animals?
Except that raccoon that hisses at me sometimes when I try to go into the director's cabin.
Yeah, you just ignore him, right?
That's right.
So, you know, and I'm sure parents, especially the ones who are sending their kids out for the first time, you know, they probably want to ask the same questions about the dangerous animals. But what sort of medical facilities do you have there? If the worst were to happen, what's on site?
We have an infirmary. Mm-hmm. We have a retired nurse that helps out at camp, that's out there at camp, and people that have this special outdoor wild, I don't know what it's called, some sort of classification for
right.
it. But if a child becomes very sick, like with the temper and stuff, we send them home.
Mm-hmm.
We're not equipped to have that. Through my 30 years, we had one broken arm.
Really?
And that was a counselor that ran down a hill.
Oh, no.
And that was in the very beginning, and a fish hook caught in an ear with a worm on it. So we didn't have the fishing dock quite so crowded after that. And
that's amazing.
No accidents. We've had some sprains from running and little knocks on the head. Mm-hmm. But as I said, it's so well supervised, and we keep the play when they start to get out of control when they're tired. Mm-hmm. The staff just kind of moves up and gets them all calmed down. But there's a staff is taught a lot, and safety precautions are really a priority. out there. So that's a record that can be checked. That's, I think, are the two two worst things
that's
that have happened.
Amazing. So you've mentioned that all of this is going on during the summer programs.
Correct.
So what happens during the off season? What is the camp? You know, is it just sitting there waiting for the kids to come back, the little ghostly echoes of them running around?
No. Usually, I believe it's in March. As I said, I've just been chairman of the board or on the board for less than a year. OMSI uses the camp a lot and comes with their outdoor schools. Wilson School. A lot of schools use this for their outdoor school.
Okay.
Apart from OMSI, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, church groups. And there are people in the winter months that use it for. We have it rented out on Thanksgiving because they have Thanksgiving dinners out there, and at Christmas time, there's been family reunions out there.
Okay.
We have now recently. I had the North Coast Land Conservatory do a big thing on Camp Quanlong, and we have some unbelievable pristine things on our property that you can't find anywhere else.
Oh, really?
So we're in the process of sending this stewardship plan out to colleges where we're going to try to get some college classes, particularly like Arizona that doesn't even know what moss is, and hopefully we can start in those off months to rent to colleges for classes.
Okay.
So
people can rent the facilities then for private functions. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, good. So what you've mentioned that the community really comes through and makes it all possible, and it's so inspiring to hear. Mm-hmm. Are there any particular needs that someone listening out there or someone in the community could do as an individual to help out?
Well, in regards to the summer youth program, any type of financial donation to help a child come to camp, and just to show you what the clientele is like with the parents, we had a mother that had to use financial assistance for the first time last year, and this year she thanked us again, but she not only paid her child's tuition but sent another check so that another child could come.
Oh.
So the thing that we need is finding the funding so we can make sure that every child comes. And we haven't had to turn anyone away yet. But once camp starts out, sometimes we're pretty low on that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So how does a family go about signing up their kids for camp?
We have brochures. I made sure I delivered them myself, even though I'm not the youth director, but because our gal that Drex now lives in Canby.
Mm.
And she started when she was age 7.
Oh, really?
And she was Oregon's Teacher of the Year this year. And
really?
She's a running camp. This will be her second year.
Wow.
But every child in Clatsop County from going second grade through the eighth grade got an application. But we have them at the Astoria and the Seaside Library, Warrenton City Hall. We have them at Gerhardt Dairy Queen.
Okay.
So they can pick, I know that they still have them there, or they can, or there's a phone number, our website, I don't have it memorized, there would be, campquanlong.org maybe, I'm not sure.
You can Google it, right?
Yeah, Google it, right. I'm trying to get hip. At least I can do Excel now in Word. This is great progress. Right. So there's plenty of applications out and around in the community.
Right. Okay. Well, great. Well, what advice would you give for a first-time camper, a kid who's never really been away from home before? What's the most important thing for them to know?
Well, first of all, that they're not trapped. A lot of children will come to camp, and it's a psychological thing. It's not anything that they want to have happen. Most homesickness, we're homesick experts out there. Usually when they start coming around at 4 o'clock, and that's about the time where they get a little scared and they want to go home, and we talk them into spending the night, and if you feel that way in the morning, we'll send you home because you're not trapped. So usually the next morning I don't see them until 4 o'clock the next night, and I say, you've got the kind we can work with. So it's with the child's cooperation, but we know when it's genuine. So we call the parents and we say, because I've told the parents and them, we won't keep them there if they really can't adjust. And usually the next summer they come back if they go home and there's no problem. So it's just some Mm-hmm. And parents that are nervous, and I understand they're nervous, they are trusting us with their little children. They can call me 10,000 times a day, mm-hmm. or the director, but they are not allowed to come out and hide behind a tree like one parent did.
Really?
Because as soon as the child sees the parent, mm-hmm. it's over.
Yeah, right.
So, but we will reassure them every day how well they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we do, and we send out a little first-time parent camper letter. So we are fully appreciative of the anxiety, mm-hmm. but it's one of the safest places, as far as I'm concerned, in mm-hmm. the world for children.
I guess so. That's pretty great. Well, wonderful. Well, what other information can you bring us today? Is there anything that we haven't covered in our chat here?
Well, I guess the mission statement, not only of Camp Quan Long, but the Summer Youth Program, is that we want to provide a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
And through the work of the staff and the program, some children for the first time discover what a self-esteem is.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our activities are geared to nurture that. And they learn to respect themselves, but they also acknowledge the esteem with other children, their esteem and their respect. We have a wonderful conflict management program. Usually everything that goes wrong at camp is because it's been misperceived.
Mm-hmm.
So we always get everybody involved. And we have what they're called Sparky Talks. And they still call them Sparky Talks, even though I'm gone. They come up and they sit. And first, I hear from the counselor what went on, and then I get from the child, mm-hmm. or two children, or a whole cabin. And so as we talk back and forth in dialogue,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's even the counselor's fault for misperceiving. So the counselor apologizes. Or if the child understands that they sort of misperceived what someone did. And so what we have done through just this dialogue and taking the time right at the moment, it's resolved, and they go skipping off together with their arms around mm-hmm. each other. So it's a wonderful, wonderful training of how to live in a community
mm-hmm.
where there is nothing that cannot be resolved and everything is a misperception. Everything.
Wow. So they take a lot home besides macaroni necklaces.
You got it. Yes.
That's cool. Well, in their last couple minutes here, you know, what kind of treasures will they bring home with them? I mean, you have so many activities that they do. You know,
they have little arts and crafts things, and that depends. Harry Potter, they go home with a wand.
Oh, cool.
But they have their name tags and their beads that mm-hmm. they earn. All of them are, the group has to earn them, like Clean Cabin and Flag and Hoppers, and that's the ones that are doing the tables and stuff like that. The only individual one is a bullseye in archery.
Okay.
But we always give them a certificate of attendance, it's called. And every staff member writes something positive to the camper for them to take home.
Oh, wonderful.
And when we hand them out, I ask the staff, I say, how many of you still have your certificates? Well, they say, I've taken mine to college.
Mm-hmm.
Kids take them home and paper their rooms year after year with them. But whenever they have a down day, they read those and they feel so good. But it takes the staff a long time and a lot of effort to sign every single one.
Well, it seems like it's
I can't say enough about that young staff out there.
Yeah.
They are just wonderful young adults.
Well, everything you've said has been so inspirational today. It really makes you feel good for the future.
You're talking about my favorite subject, I'll tell you that much.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about camp, because, you know, it may have been a while since any of us thought about it. And let people know that it's out there. It's still thriving. It's still in need of all the help it can get.
That's right.
And I appreciate you coming in.
Well,
and
thank you.
Yeah, anybody with needs information, go to the internet and Google Camp Quan Long. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.